Shipwreck ends Astoria's bid to be the Nantucket of the West Coast. Well, to be the Nantucket of the West Coast, I guess you have to have a harbor that's reasonably safe for fully loaded whaling ships to come in, and unfortunately, in the mid-1800s, Astoria didn't have one of those. When the treacherous bar claimed a fully loaded whaling ship with a cargo of tremendously valuable stuff, the fruits of 2 or 3 years at sea, its owner chalked it up as a very expensive lesson learned and gave up on his plan to hunt whales out of the Oregon seaport. So I'm going to tell you this story in a minute, but first I'm going to introduce myself. My name's Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. This column got started in 2008, and it runs in about a dozen community newspapers around the state these days. It tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. This RSS feed that you're listening to right now brings you one of our archive columns every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. Today's episode in particular was written on August 8th, 2011, and I'm going to read it to you now. Welcome to Oregon, whale hunting capital of the West Coast. Doesn't sound like the kind of slogan the state's tourism commission would want to get behind, does it? Yet it came surprisingly close to becoming a true statement, and in fact, if the Columbia River Bar had not been so fearsome, it probably would have. The world was a different place before March 27, 1855. That was the day a physician inventor named Abraham Gessner patented a technique for refining petroleum into something that he called kerosene. Before that day, if you wanted to see at night, you had two choices of fuel types to burn in your lamps. Cheap, toxic stuff that smoked and stank, and whale oil. Those who could afford it burned whale oil. The whaling industry was huge in America in the 1840s. Ships would embark from Nantucket or from New Bedford, Massachusetts. The city that lit the world was the slogan for that town. And spend years at sea, chasing sperm whales all over the Atlantic and Pacific. The South Pacific was especially productive. But the South Pacific was a bit of a long way from New Bedford, especially in the days before the Panama Canal was even thought about. A ship that had a particularly successful voyage might find itself with the barrels in its hold all full of whale oil, passing up valuable opportunities on the voyage back around the Horn. It would certainly make sense to have another port on the Pacific coast from which to operate whaling expeditions. At least that's what the owners of the whaling ship Maine thought. So in 1846, when the Maine sailed out of its home port in Fairhaven, Mass, on a several-year cruise, the captain was instructed to put in at Astoria, the most well-developed port on the American West Coast at the time. Now, you know, you might think that the logical place to do this would have been San Francisco, and you'd be right. But in 1846, San Francisco was a Mexican city, and actually the U.S. had just gotten done going to war with Mexico. Seattle, not even a trading post yet. Astoria, it was. So the Maine spent a couple of years prowling the South Seas, and by the time it was ready to come into port in late August of 1848, its hold was stuffed with 1,400 barrels of whale oil, along with 120 pounds of spermaceti oil, which is the hard, waxy substance from the head of the sperm whale, which was used to make top-quality candles, and also 7 tons of whalebone. It probably took at least 30 whales to produce this amount of cargo. This load would be offloaded at Astoria, and some sort of facility set up for handling whale oil products there. Then the Maine would head out to fetch more. At least, that was the plan. At Astoria, though, the seas were too heavy for the bar pilot to get safely aboard the Maine. After some time, the skipper of the Maine got tired of waiting. How bad could it be, anyway? No doubt the bar looked perfectly safe to him. He decided to take a chance. Well, one of the things a bar pilot in those days was supposed to know about was wind shadows. The wind profile at the mouth of the river is rather complicated, and more than one sailing ship has had defeat snatched from the jaws of victory when the wind suddenly shifted or dropped to nothing at just the wrong moment. And this is exactly what happened to the Maine. Canvas hanging impotently from the yardarms, the heavy-laden ship drifted out to sea at the mercy of the current and, in slow motion, fetched up on Clatsop Spit. All that could be salvaged was the cooper's shop, the rest of the Maine and her valuable cargo was a total loss. That was the beginning and the end of Astoria's bid to become the Nantucket of the Pacific. The ship's owners in Fairhaven were quick to learn the lesson that Astoria was simply too dangerous to be used as a regular base of operations. Perhaps it was just as well. A dozen years later, new petroleum-based kerosene would be the lamp fuel of choice almost everywhere, and the whaling industry would fade into little more than an East Coast maritime memory. Had Astoria gotten involved, it would have been too late to participate in more than just the sunset years of the whaling industry's golden age. Astoria did make a second foray into the whaling industry, much more recently, seeking, among other things, whale oil for the space program. An Astoria area company launched a whaling venture in 1961. We'll have details about that in tomorrow's column. That's it for today, though. And you can check out all the columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon du jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a netbook or a tablet or even an old-fashioned computer if you want to try it. Everything here, by the way, is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon, especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee. I'll be back tomorrow around 6 a.m. with the next episode, and until then, happy trails!